Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I don't know what's happening right now, but I do know this. Matty Ice is an Indianapolis Colt. The Falcons trade Matt Ryan to the Colts. Meanwhile, Atlanta reaches a deal with Marcus Mariota. The Falcons got a 2022 third-round pick for Ryan. It will leave a dead money charge of over $40 million this season on the club's salary cap, the largest charge for any player all time. Ryan had a strong run in his first 10 seasons in Atlanta, including an MVP and Super Bowl appearance in 2016. The last four, however, he has not had the same success, and he has yet to return to the postseason. Hello, Marcus Spears. Hi, Stephen A. J.J. Redick will be here in a bit to talk a little NBA. I'm going to start with you, Marcus. Does Matt Ryan make the Colts a Super Bowl threat?
No, not yet. Not at all. The Colts don't have a left tackle. They still need help at wide receiver, and I'm not sure. We've seen Matt Ryan on bad teams. The ante is about to be upped, and I'm excited for him. I think he's a better option than they've had. And Phillip Rivers was solid, and he got to the divisional round in the playoffs. I get that every team that starts the season off is thinking about Super Bowls. And the Colts won't be one of those teams where it's a figment of people's imagination. But right now, with some of the holes on this roster, no. And I haven't seen Matt Ryan play for anything realistic in a minute. Like, we've watched the Atlanta Falcons, and we've seen Matt Ryan put up gaudy numbers. And it's almost similar to what we've seen from Matt Stafford when he was in Detroit for the last few years with Matt Ryan in Atlanta, a team really playing for nothing, the quarterback being the highlight. Now these crunch time situations, these high leverage pressure moments are going to come along with what the Indianapolis Colts already are. And then I want to see Matt Ryan operate and thrive. This is not me saying Matt Ryan is not a good quarterback. This is not me saying that he's not an upgrade over what they've had the past 2 years. He's even an upgrade over Phillip Rivers, I believe. But ultimately, when we start talking about Super Bowl, I think everybody needs to pay attention to what's happening in the AFC with all of these young quarterbacks, with all of these teams that's already been on the cusp of getting there. And I just can't put Matt Ryan in the Colts there just because of this move yet.
I certainly can, Marcus, and I'm going to tell you why. I think that when we looked at, think about it from this perspective. When we looked at Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, we saw a whole bunch of holes around him offensively. We said, when the hell are the Baltimore Ravens going to get some additional talent around him? I know that Bateman and Hollywood and all of those boys, they can ball, but in the same breath, we still looked at Baltimore as having huge, huge question marks. But nevertheless, they were elevated in the mind's eye in terms of being a Super Bowl contender because of Lamar Jackson. Now, obviously, Matt Ryan is a different kind of player, and I get that. But guess what Matt Ryan has? Matt Ryan has arguably the best running back in football, Jonathan Taylor, who just finished rushing for over 1,800 yards, okay? He's got a massive offensive line that's considered one of the best in football. When you take into account that you got an offensive line that's going to protect you, which he didn't have in Atlanta, you got an elite running game, which he didn't have in Atlanta. You know Frank Wright knows how to call some plays. We don't know that about Arthur Smith and all of that other stuff at this particular juncture, even though he's the former offensive coordinator in Tennessee before he became the head coach in Atlanta. I think you have to look at those situations and then take into account Matt Ryan experience. What we really, really did was hold against them the fact that you had a 28-8-3 lead in the Super Bowl against Tom Brady in the 2016 season. And what happened? You allowed them to come back. You didn't stop the bleeding at all, which you had the prowess to do at that particular moment in time. The next year, you come to the playoffs, you get bounced out in the divisional playoff round, and after that, you've missed the playoffs for the last 4 years, didn't even have a winning record. So we hold against them a lot of the stuff that was transpiring in Atlanta. There's no question that he had something to do with it. But it's the same guy that's passed for nearly 60,000 yards, that has a 2-touchdown-to-interception, got a 2-to-1 touchdown-to-interception ratio, okay? We're looking at it from that perspective, the experience, the fact that he can make any NFL throw. all of those things come into consideration. I'm looking at the system he's walking into. I'm looking at the personnel he has surrounding him. I'm looking at the coach that he has working with him, okay? And I'm saying, excuse me, yes, you got to look at what's transpiring in the AFC West. You got to look at Cincinnati and those boys in the AFC North. You can't ignore the Buffalo Bills. But
Tennessee.
The AFC South with Tennessee, Indy's going to have something to say about that division. Mm-hmm. And if they have something to say about the division, they're going to have something to say about the postseason picture. I like this move for them. I think it's a big-time move for them based on the personnel they have surrounding him, and that's where I'm at with
it. I like the move. I like the move, but I can tell you in basketball season, you in basketball mode.
Why? Because
I know we want to put all the blame on Carson Wentz, but did you see the Colts go up there and lose to Jacksonville to get in the playoffs?
26-11,
Yeah, there's a lot that this team has to do. Stephen A., I get it. Everybody's excited and on the Matt Ryan train, including me. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, this team has some other things that they need to address as well.
Let me ask you a question. Okay. Listen, I know the big man balling. I know where you're going. I mean, we watch it.
Come on, man.
It's can't miss television. Big man balling. I got it. So you're going to bring up the big boys and you got to point out how, let's not ignore that. I got all of that. Let me ask you this question. Weren't you raving about who was Molly? Who was Swaggoo's pick to win the AFC West?
The AFC West? I don't remember.
That would be the Chargers. Right? That's what he said.
Yeah.
Did the Chargers make the playoffs last year, this past season?
Nope.
No, they did not.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Don't stop you from picking them. Don't stop you from pointing out that this is a team to be reckoned with. Why? Because that brother Justin Herbert can ball. I get all of that. But they didn't make the playoffs. What I'm saying is Indy didn't make the playoffs either. But with Jonathan Taylor, with their offensive line, with their coach, and with a quarterback that isn't a mistake waiting to happen like Carson Wentz, I'm sorry. All I'm saying is when we talk about the AFC, we got to talk about the Indianapolis Colts too.
They in there for a playoff pitcher, but the question is, are they a damn Super Bowl threat?
Do you think
the Indy Colts are a Super Bowl threat?
Yes. I'm saying that. Let me ask you a question. Were the Cincinnati Bengals considered a Super Bowl threat?
Not at all.
Exactly.
But we didn't have this question in March on the
22nd. What I'm saying is there's no dynasty in the AFC. There's no dynasty. We've seen vulnerabilities in Kansas City. We clearly have seen some vulnerabilities in Buffalo.
How many teams do you have to go through before you get to the Colts being one of the best teams in the AFC?
Okay, well, let me be specific. I believe that the Indianapolis Colts have a legitimate shot because Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback of Tennessee. Let's not forget that. I believe the Indianapolis Colts have a legitimate shot to win the division. If they win the division, we're talking two playoff games. And with Jonathan Taylor in offensive line and a quarterback, I think you got to count Indy in a picture.
Marcus, let me ask you this. I want to transition here because both Matt Ryan and Russell Wilson have now made the jump from the NFC to the AFC. Which of those quarterbacks is in the better spot?
Matt Ryan in a better spot because the least amount of competition. Like, we're not comparing quarterbacks. We're talking about the path that's easier to travel in order to get to the playoffs.
That's right.
I think Russ will be in the playoffs. And if the Denver Broncos play the Indianapolis Colts with Russell Wilson at quarterback, I'd take the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
But the path of least resistance is the one that Matt Ryan resides in. And that's the only reason I would give him the edge. We are going to have 1,000 conversations, Molly Q. And Stephen A. about the AFC West. And we're going to see this thing go up and down, and they're going to juggle throughout the rest of the season.
But they all can't make it.
But you would take all four of those. You would take all four of those teams before you took the Indianapolis Colts. And you would be more comfortable with it.
Stop it. No, you can't do that because they're going to beat up on each other and all of them ain't going to make it. That's the whole point. The point is that, like you just highlighted, the road to prosperity for the Indianapolis Colts is considerably easier because they're in the AFC South, right? The AFC West will be up on one another. I'm just saying, they're going to be right in the mix.
They're going to have to see somebody.
And somebody going to have to see them.
If they play Buffalo in the playoffs, who you going to take?
Excuse me? I'm taking Buffalo over everybody right now.
If they play Buffalo in the playoffs, who you going to take?
I'm taking Buffalo over everybody right now. Everybody right now.
If they play in Kansas City, who you going to take?
I don't know about that yet. I got to see Kansas City defense.
I got to see that. I got to see it. You know I'm right. I got to see that. Come on now.
What is that? What is it? Is it
you
fluid?
You're going to take Kansas City.
It's fluid.
It's fluid.
It's fluid.
Marcus, it's fluid. Marcus, it's fluid.
It absolutely is fluid. You know, I got to see that, bro. Come on now.
I knew where we would get to. Molly, I knew where we would get to. Listen, asking this
all
question
ball,
in March. March 22nd, sure, they Super Bowl contenders. But you know damn well, when we get closer to this season, based on if they don't make the moves that are needed to be made, and as we sit today, those moves have not been made. Stephen A., the Colts need a receiver. They need a high-powered, prolific receiver. You know what teams in the AFC don't need them? All the teams we just mentioned. They need a left tackle. A left tackle.
I know a few teams that need an offensive line. I know a few teams that need a running game. I can't ignore that. Come on, man.
Right.
Listen, we'll get back to it later.
You know what else they need?
We'll get back to
Marcus,
it later.
Marcus, you'll be back.
You know,
the other thing they need is consistency at quarterback.
Just sit back and recline.
Hold on. Let me just say one thing.
I'm from that puffing and stuff like I'm not making a point.
You know they don't have a running game.
You made a point. Let's just try to shoot it down. All right, gentlemen. Marcus, we're saying
man,
bye to you. I just want to say this quickly. For the seventh straight season, the Colts are starting a different quarterback week one.
That's true.
We'll keep it rolling. Quick takes, Stephen A., this is all you. According to Adam Schefter, Leonard Fournette, who spent Monday visiting with the New England Patriots, is re-signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a three-year deal. Talk to me.
I like Leonard Fournette. You know why? Because even though there have been times in the past that you question his durability, you know one thing you don't question? Whether or not he's going to show up when it really, really counts. Come playoff time, come big games, Leonard Fournette shows up. Mm-hmm. And that's what I appreciate about him. He's a rough rider. Yeah. And I think that's exactly what Tom Brady needs. And Leonard Fournette doesn't sign back for a three-year deal if Tom Brady ain't there. They know what this is about.
Absolutely. And he was a difference maker in that Super Bowl run. Okay, J.J. Redick just tapped in. Let's get to the association. The Lakers, 31-41, are fighting for a play-in spot. But LeBron's not stressed. He was focused on his homecoming to Believe Land. LeBron knew the task at hand, scoring 38 in a win over the Cavs. Keep in mind, over the weekend, he passed Karl Malone for second on the all-time scoring list. What a time to be alive.
I can care less about what the narrative about our team is. I've been, at my point in my career, I don't get involved in that stuff. I don't read about it. I don't hear it too much. It's like, really, I go home, drink wine or drink tequila every night. And if I'm at my house in L.A., I'm watching a movie with the kids or I'm playing Madden. None of that stuff matters to me. I'm having a blast playing a game of basketball. You know, and like I told the other night, I said, yes, I get frustrated and, you know, angry from losses and things we could have done better and things of that nature. But, I mean, once I leave the arena and I get home, I'll leave it there. I leave it there and let's move on to the next day. How can we get better? So I'm literally having a time of my life right now.
The time of my life. After the win, Magic Johnson feeling optimistic, tweeting this. If the Lakers play with this type of effort, speed and quickness in defense and offense, I think we could have a good playoff run, especially with Anthony Davis coming back. But J.J. Redick, hello, sir. Good to see you.
Great to see y'all.
What do you think? Do you believe that LeBron is having the time of his life right now?
I think this is a great example of someone having perspective and someone having gratitude. To be able to be playing basketball and playing basketball at such a high level in his 19th season, to have the perspective of all the things that he's built off the court, on the court, and in a very frustrating season in which the Lakers have underperformed relative to expectations, he has found a purpose and a joy in this season. And yes, in a way, the purpose is probably very much individually oriented in the sense that he's going for the scoring title. He's passed Karl Malone. He's got a chance in the next year or so to pass Kareem as the all-time scorer. But this is to me LeBron grown up. This is an example of his maturity, the gratitude he has for being able to play this game, the game that he loves so much. I will say, though, I get where people would take umbrage with this quote. Mm-hmm. Kobe would never. MJ would never. But LeBron has never done things like them. LeBron has always done things his way. I appreciate this perspective from him.
I was prepared to disagree with you because I didn't see the quote in its entirety.
Yes.
When you hear I'm having the time of my life. That definitely was going to get me riled up because he should not be feeling that way. But when you watch what he said, and I'm glad that we got context. I don't disagree with you, but I do think the totality of his quote requires a more macro conversation. LeBron James can say what he said because LeBron James doesn't cheat the game of basketball. LeBron James shows up most nights. He balls out at age 37 in his 19th season. The brother's averaging 38-6. 38-6 at age 37, his 19th season in the league. There is no doubt that there is no player in the history of basketball that has been this good for this long. But the fact that he shows up 99.9% of the time, he does his post-game interviews, he fulfills, he's a guy that embraces all the responsibilities that come with being an ambassador of the game of basketball. See, these are the moments right here where folks like myself and others have a requirement, in my opinion, to step back and appreciate what this man means to the game of basketball. Because he upholds it, not just with his performance, but with the professionalism, the integrity, and all the other elements that are supposed to come with it. But when you say something like that, we need to highlight the fact that, LeBron, you can. Nobody else better not say that. Because there's not enough people doing what he does. And I'm not talking about statistics. I'm talking about the game itself. You see, you don't play for free. And you don't play, regardless of COVID, in the privacy of your own home, in empty arenas or whatever. There are people that work hard every day and pay their hard-earned money and walk through the turnstiles. They come there to see you perform because you voluntarily said, this is a job that I want. And I want the money that comes with it. And in return for that, I'm going to go out on this court and I'm going to do this. And on far too many occasions, we don't see people embracing that responsibility. And because of that, as much as the game is flourishing, there's going to be a problem when a collective bargaining negotiation comes forward. There's going to be a problem in the mind's eye of the game as it pertains to how people look at these athletes and look at the game itself. Because too many times we're seeing people not place the value on excellence that that man has repeatedly placed on this. So when he says, I just go home, drink my wine or drink some tequila or whatever the case may be. He can do that. It's just that people need to understand why he can do that, because he puts in that work and he makes those sacrifices and he delivers. And so when he says that, I think the position that must be taken is don't y'all try it because y'all ain't him. And we ain't talking about numbers. We ain't talking about stats. We're talking about LeBron could have scored 20 last night. We still look at him and go like this. Damn, the effort is there. The commitment is there, et cetera, et cetera. You can't, no, the normal dude can't be 10 games under 500, have all the drama that's come associated with the Lakers this season, the dysfunctionality that has raked through this franchise, the embarrassment, got Magic Johnson half the time calling him out, along with James Worthy. James Worthy looked like he needs to take some Prozac after every damn Lakers game, for crying out loud, in studio, after every loss, because he can't believe how bad they've looked and how dysfunctional they've looked. When something like that is happening, you can't be talking about, I'm good, I'm happy, unless you're LeBron James and you do what he does for the most part on a night in, night out basis. That's what I think needs to be said.
I'm glad that you made those points, and I'm glad that you're not up here killing LeBron for saying that and understanding the quote in its totality.
Yes, right.
I actually think this season is a credit to LeBron because he has built an incredible standard. Personal standard, and he has reached that. Obviously, the Lakers have failed to this point in the season, but he has reached his individual standard. He has upheld that throughout this season.
Well, I would say that. I don't disagree with that. I would tell you he has fulfilled his obligations. He's lived up to, if not elevated, his personal standard as a player.
as a de facto GM, that's a different matter entirely. He doesn't get to get a pass from this roster that was assembled. It's got his fingerprints written all over it now, JJ. You can't let him off the hook for that, number one. And number two, back to the positive, it's important. He hasn't just uplifted his personal standard. He's allowed us the license to mandate what the standard should be for everybody. It's not to produce the numbers, Molly, yeah. JJ. It's to maximize your potential and put on display that you are doing everything you can to maximize your potential, as opposed to taking games off, as opposed to not putting in the work, yeah. putting in the time. I've seen guys, and you know I'm telling the truth with this. There are guys whose game now is the same as it was 4 years ago. How is that possible? You making enough money where you can invest the time in the gym to perfect your craft and not be the same person that you were 4 or 5 years ago. There are players nameless, because I'm not going there. There are nameless players out there. They will remain nameless. Their game hasn't changed, hasn't evolved, hasn't improved. The complacency is clearly obvious. Mm. I'm getting paid. I'm good. Let me work out and be in condition, but not work on my game. He doesn't do that.
This is why LeBron is LeBron. Yeah. This is why LeBron is LeBron. And that's what I was speaking to when I talked about that individual standard.
Right.
And I love the fact that in a lost season, for the most part, mm-hmm. he can find joy, whether it's on the court or off the court. Mm-hmm. He even mentioned, he talked about the frustrations, what he could do better, what the team could do better. He's acknowledging all of that. But the fact that he can find a joy and a purpose in this season is a credit to him.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right. I'm not going to refute that.
In the moment.
Yes.
Regardless of where he is. LeBron, though, guys, how about the dunk? Put his former teammate, Kevin Love, on a poster last night. What'd you think, Stephen A.? One of his better dunks?
It's all right. Listen, Kevin Love, God bless him. First of all, he'd never try to jump with LeBron. That ain't his game. Secondly, and more importantly, remember, Kevin Love is a guy that, I mean, that he tried to flop there and get an offensive foul. Should have moved out the way. I love how LeBron messed with him a little bit. I love how, you know, they love each other. Kevin Love is hard not to love. He's one of the best people you'll ever meet. He really, really is a really great guy. But I got to tell you, JJ, we don't have the footage right now. It did compare to LeBron's dunk on Nurkic years ago when he was a cat. Remember that dunk? It didn't compare to LeBron jumping over John Lucas from the right baseline when he was in Miami on a Sunday afternoon. It didn't compare. I mean, there's a few dunks that LeBron has registered in his career. I don't even have this as top five for LeBron.
Have Kevin stayed in position?
Yeah.
And really tried to take a charge.
Or really tried to jump.
Yes, exactly. Then it's different.
It would have been different.
There was a last second business decision Kevin Love's part.
Correct.
He bailed out of the charge block. He bailed out of it.
But the people need to go back. Watch LeBron's. First of all, LeBron's had some open court dunks. LeBron had, and the two that I mentioned, that dunk on Portland from years ago when he was with Cleveland, Lord have mercy. Yeah. Now, go back to that one.
Yeah.
Go back to that one.
He's having an impressive season, leading the scoring title race as well. Yeah. How about the Nets, though, guys? A lot of question marks there. So already without Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons, the Brooklyn Nets were down another starter to illness, lost one to injury. Now, they still had Kevin Durant, and that was enough against Utah. Durant had 37 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, and the Nets beat the Jazz 114-106 on Monday night for their sixth win in 7 games. The Nets have just 10 games remaining in their season and sit a game ahead of Charlotte for the 8th seed. 4 of those will be on the road, with 1 against the Knicks, meaning Kyrie Irving can only play 3 games down the stretch. Now, if Brooklyn falls to 9, that means they'll need to win twice to get into the playoffs. JJ, are the Nets in danger of falling out of the 8th spot?
It's an oddly worded question, but yes, they are in danger of falling out of the 8th spot. No. I'm not saying. We know who writes the questions, Molly. We know who writes the questions. Mm-hmm. Here's why. As you mentioned, Kyrie, he's only available 3 of the last 10 games.
Yeah.
Last night was a huge win for them. If you look at this week, they started off with Utah last night. Mm-hmm. They're at Memphis tomorrow. They're at Miami Heat, and then they come back Sunday at home against the Charlotte Hornets, who, as we know, are a game back with them. So this was a huge win for them. The reason I say they're in danger, their margin for error on a night-to-night basis is very slim. Seth Curry is still battling this ankle issue that's been bothering him all year. Ben Simmons, herniated disc. We don't know when he's available. Kevin Durant, obviously one of one. What happens if he has an off-shooting night? what happens if he has two off-shooting nights? Right? So much is required of Kevin Durant.
Yeah, it's all on his shoulders.
Right.
No,
right.
To be A-plus every single night for this team to win right now. Do I think they're going to drop from the eighth? Probably not. I don't think they're going to catch Toronto. But there's a good chance this week, as I mentioned, will determine, I think, whether or not. The one thing that's good for them in their corner right now, three of their last four games are against teams that aren't playing for anything. Mm-hmm. The only game in that stretch is a game against Cleveland, who obviously is still battling for their playoff positioning. But three of their last four are against teams that are trying at this point to lose.
But to your point, it's only a big one right now.
Well, first of all, let's be very, very clear. Big one is enough for an eighth seed. He's Kevin Durant. You know who he is. You know who he is, okay? It's KD, okay? There are no off nights, all right? Just stop it. There's no off nights. Off nights compared to KD standard. But off nights overall, there are no off nights for KD. This brother is something special. Ain't nothing to talk about that. I don't even want to think about that because that's just a waste of time. That's number one. Number two, Memphis, are you ready? NBA countdown is coming to Memphis, Tennessee tomorrow night. Ja Morant and the crew have called. We will be there in a fin, full effect in the house. Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson, the whole crew. We there. I'm coming to Memphis, Tennessee. Okay. And damn it, I ain't Elvis. That's number two. Number three, I'm looking at the schedule, JJ. Yeah, you got Memphis. Kyrie's going to be on the court. Looking forward to that. With KD. At Miami. I really wish I could get from Memphis to Miami. That would really, really be nice. But I'm too busy. I can't make it. But it would have been nice to be there. But, okay, after that, Charlotte, Detroit, all right, Milwaukee. They'll win two of those three. They got Houston, all right. They got Cleveland and Indiana to end the season. Not much is going to be on the line. The Nets are going to the playoffs. Let's be very, very clear about that. They're going to the playoffs. They're not falling out of the eighth seeded spot. All right. It's going to be interesting because, again, if the playoffs were to begin today, they'd play Toronto. Kyrie can't play in Toronto. I think Toronto could beat a Brooklyn Nets team without Kyrie. I do believe that to happen. But I am not concerned, and I'm watching KD. Listen, if the man hadn't gotten hurt, the man would probably be in the lead for league MVP. They were the number one seed without Kyrie, with James Harden, iffy, and all of that stuff. They were the number one seed in the East when he went down. He came back, they were the number eight seed, okay? Kevin Durant would be leading the votes for league MVP this year if he had not gotten hurt. Just like Draymond, because I know the defensive player means a lot to him. He would have been my defensive player of the year had he not gotten hurt and missed 32 games, even though I love what Bridges is doing in Phoenix. I am not worried about the Brooklyn Nets getting to the postseason. I'm worried about the availability of Kyrie once they get there.
Okay. It is interesting you brought up this MVP thing because we've been doing this all season and talking about this race, and it felt very much the first couple months it was Steph Curry and Kevin Durant.
That's right. Yeah.
Steph had a shooting slump. Draymond gets hurt.
Yep.
They start losing some games. Mm-hmm. Kevin gets hurt. Now it's like it seems like it's a three-person race at this point.
Yep.
Here's a question.
Who's your three, by the way? Because I haven't heard you on this.
Jokic, Joel, and Giannis.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
But here's an interesting scenario.
In that order?
If they –
Okay.
Yeah. 1A, 1B.
Okay.
Like, I think this is something that's going to come down to the last week of the season.
We're identical with that. Yeah.
But if Brooklyn does end up in the 8th seed and Kyrie can't play in Toronto for that game, they're home for that 8, 9, 10, whatever, whoever wins the 9-10 game. There's a chance that Kyrie's unavailable for the entire play-in tournament.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
However, I agree with you. I do think Kevin Durant and four players, you can pick them off the street. It doesn't really matter. He's good enough to get this team into the playoffs.
That's right.
Yeah.
See, JJ's learning. JJ's learning.
Okay, you know what I'm relax. Saying? Vegas still has Brooklyn winning the title, by the way, which is shocking to me.
Okay, go ahead.
And then they have Phoenix Suns after. I'm glad, yeah.
That's right.
Professor. Yeah, JJ needs to learn some basketball from you. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The East looking like a beast right now in the association. Tyrese Maxey told Joel Embiid he'd step up in his absence. He sure did. Scored 13 of his game-high 28 points in the fourth, including 9 in a row in a crucial stretch. And without Embiid and James Harden, beat the Eastern Conference-leading Miami Heat 113-106 last night. The win pulled Philly within 2.5 games of the Heat in the conference. Embiid sat out with back soreness, Harden with left hamstring tightness. Meanwhile, the Celtics tandem of Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, too much for OKC to handle. The duo combined for 34 points in the first half as Oklahoma City's losing streak has reached double digits after a 132-123 loss to Boston despite a fourth quarter push led by Trey Mann. Watch out for Boston quietly climbing the standings, currently fourth in the East. On that note, we welcome in my girl, Monica McNutt. Good morning, good morning. Good to have you with us.
What's happening, y'all?
We will get to you in just a second. I'm going to start with JJ here. JJ, are the Celtics the team to beat now in the East?
I don't think they are. I've been saying this for the last few weeks. Miami is, to me, the most dangerous team in the East. Last night's loss was a little concerning, obviously losing to Philly without Joel and without James Harden. But I think we've all overlooked the Bucks. They're 32-9 when the big three play. Mm-hmm. They just got Brooke Lopez back. They're the defending champs. To me, those two teams are probably the two best teams in the East.
Miami and Milwaukee?
Miami and Milwaukee. Okay. Celtics are great. Best defensive team in the league. They've been on a tear. They're 27-7 since January 6th. Mm, right. They're great. My concern with them in a playoff series is the nature of their offense. It's not their defense. They're so disruptive. They switch 1 through 5. They take you out of what you're trying to run. But the real issue to me is half-court offense. The nature of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum creating tough shots and them really not having a high-volume knockdown shooter. They've got two guys shooting over league average, Peyton Pritchard and Grant Williams, but those aren't high-volume guys. And as I know from my own career, getting spot-up playoff threes – is a very different thing than regular season spot up threes. Mm-hmm.
I feel where you're coming from, but I'm going to respectfully disagree.
All right.
And I'm going to tell you that I know you're trying to be slick. Because, see, here's us. When people are debating, Molly, I don't know why you haven't figured this out yet. So when they're going up against me.
Oh, teach me,
when
please.
They're going up against me. Yeah, I am teaching.
I don't watch enough debates over the last 6 years.
No, you just
10 hours
you,
you a
just,
week.
You just
cool.
choose to ignore me when you want. And I'm just not letting you get away with
okay.
that today.
Go ahead.
What I'm trying to say is that JJ tried to pull the okey-doke. So what happens is he wants to make the argument for Milwaukee and Miami.
Yeah.
Knowing I'm going to make my argument about Boston. But he talked about Boston. It's not going to work because you didn't do it with enough passion and enough validity as far as I'm concerned. The Boston Celtics
Tell me.
Could potentially win this conference. I'm telling you this right now.
But
I'm
are they? I agree with you on that, but are they the team to beat?
Right now, I think they are. Right now. That could change because it's fluid.
There wasn't a lot of confidence in that argument.
Let me explain. Because it's the season, and you got to wait. It's 82 games. I'm being very serious here. Over the last 22 games, they've had a 9-game winning streak, a 5-game winning streak, and now a 4-game winning streak. Over the last 22 games, these brothers show up. And when you talk about what they do defensively, here's why we can't ignore that. Come playoff basketball. I like you. Sometimes I don't like the system, especially at the beginning of the season. Boston, I totally agree with you. They was one of the worst teams to watch. Jason Tatum, it's your turn. Jaylen Brown, it's your turn. We'll squeeze Marcus Smart in every now and then. Now, Marcus Smart called them out. Then ultimately, they had to have a team meeting. Then ultimately, Tatum and Brown had to get together, and they had to be committed to playing together because you obviously need a tandem in the NBA if you're going to have any kind of really sustained success. But Udoka, what he has done, I can't say enough. This guy is a legitimate top two coach of the year candidate. When you look at what he has done, this team, look at them defensively. They're like a bunch of piranhas. They switch everywhere. You've got five guys. They get out on shooters better than anybody that I have seen. Now we come to Miami and Milwaukee to bring up your point. It ain't about Giannis, because Giannis is going to do what he does in the inside and in the open court, although he's suspect from the perimeter. But we know Giannis is going to give you his numbers. Jrue Holiday, Middleton, what they can give you, who's a team that can combat that because of their defensive prowess? That would be the Boston Celtics. When you look at Miami with Hero, with Butler, even with Bam, because he's really an undersized, big, very athletic, great in open court, stuff like that. But you got a Robert Williams, a guy like that there, who can make some noise for you. The pickup of White has really brought this team together as well and elevated their play defensively. And in the meantime, while all of that has transpired, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown has elevated their level of play. So I want to see it be more consistent. Please don't get me wrong, because you weren't that way at the beginning of the season. You're flowing now over the last 30-plus games. I get all of that. The playoffs are a different beast. But when it comes to the playoffs, you got to remember, the game slows down a little bit. You don't get as many open court opportunities. Defense are able to get back, set their defense right, and what have you. We know this about playoff basketball. And nobody wants Boston to do that. Because if Boston does that, that makes their defense even more formidable.
Okay.
And that's how I look at it.
All right. Monica, get in here.
All right. So I'm on Team JJ this morning. And Stephen A., here's what I would like to point out about this Celtics team. Because of the three of us, I had the privilege during this, or one of the games that disrupted the win streak, to be on the ground when Boston hosted the Dallas Mavericks. My wonderful radio partner, George Sedano, we had the radio call. It was delightful. As dynamic as the Celtics defense is, when we start talking about playoffs and we start talking about adjustments, yes, they switch out aggressively. However, ball movement still counts. And you're going to have a star on the other team, in this case it was Luka Doncic, who was able to move the ball quick enough to find Dorian Finney-Smith, who went off for 19 points and hit two big threes down the stretch of that ballgame to send the Boston Celtics home or leave them home with a loss. And so, when I think about the Bucks or the Celtics, we have not given enough credit for a team that has been there, done that, and it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that ring. All of those things, because of the Milwaukee Bucks' ability to also defend and their experience in a series, I love what Boston is doing. They're 14-4 on the road since the turn of the new year. However, when we start talking about playoffs, they do not have the recent history that gives me confidence. And so I agree with JJ that the Bucks are still the team to beat. Yeah, they lost the other night without Giannis. That's a given. They're 8-2 in their last two. The Celtics are 9-1 in their last 10, or in their last 10, rather. So to me, yes, we are thrilled with what we're seeing from the Celtics, and it has been a thing of beauty. But again, in a series where you're going to go head-to-head, to me, the defense will always be at a disadvantage to a degree when we're talking about some of the more prolific scorers leading their teams in the Eastern Conference because you have to react. That's just the nature of the game of basketball. And so, on both sides, I'm still going with the Bucks right now.
JJ, before you jump back in here, I just want to mention, so nobody's talked about the Sixers or the Brooklyn Nets in this conversation. Just to be clear, we've got Miami, Milwaukee, and Boston.
Again, is it possible? Yes. But those there's more question marks about those teams than there are the other three teams.
I just want to remind the audience that we're just talking about those three.
I brought up the Celtics half-court offense.
Yeah.
And you bring up their defense. And again, I give credit. They have a great defense. Best defense in the league. They're very disruptive. The thing with the Heat and the Bucks, they have the defenders. Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, Giannis, Jimmy Butler, P.J. Tucker. They have the defenders to make life very tough on Tatum and Brown in the half court. But the big problem here is this. 9 games in the season, I came on this show, and you were talking about the fact that the Warriors were going to win the championship. Phoenix Suns window is closed. You get caught up in the moment. This is the reality. Right. You get caught up in the moment. Really? So, yes, right now, Kim K and Pete Davidson, they're dating. But you're the type of person who thinks they're going to date forever.
Oh,
things
no.
are going to change.
Oh, no, I don't
things
think
are going to change. And things can change very quickly.
So wrong you are.
Things can change very quickly.
I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that at all. But I'm not going to knock the brother for having a good time now.
Okay,
my point to you is this. At the end of the day, when you look at the situation in Boston, first of all, let's understand something. You start off at the beginning of the season. I haven't jumped off the Warriors bandwagon. The only thing that has happened to the Warriors is that they've gotten injured. That's it. If it wasn't for the injuries, I wouldn't be concerned one bit about the Warriors coming out of the West. And I truly, truly mean that from the bottom of my heart. Monica, to get back to your point, you actually made a weak argument because you had two better examples to use rather other than the loss to Dallas. How about losing to Indiana, which Boston did? How about losing to the Detroit Pistons, which Boston did? Now, obviously, it was the second back-to-back game.
It's not weaker. I'm talking about playoff teams, but continue.
But they lost both of those games. That's all I'm trying to say. Those are the only three games they've lost pretty much in the last 22, 23 games. So we got all of that. Getting to you, JJ, I would tell you, ain't no prisoner of the moment. You watch what you see and what have you. I sat up there and I'm looking at Boston. I'm like, I didn't see this defense coming like this. I got to give credit where credit is due. I also didn't see Philadelphia and Daryl Morey just shredding their own bench. Yeah, they performed last night without Embiid and Harden, and that was nice to see. But them brothers got to show up come playoff times. It's immense pressure on Harden. We all know that. When I look at Miami, what do we say about Miami? Great culture, great team, great talent. Who closes for them? Definitively speaking, on a night-in, night-out basis, what's the answer to that question? I'm just saying the question marks combined with Boston's defense. And it's not like they got just one star. They got two of them. And it's not like Marcus Smart and others can't hit shots either. Hell, Pritchard, you know, what I'm Pritchard. This guy's hitting shots for crying out loud. I'm just looking at Boston and I'm saying I can't ignore them.
Monica,
I can't ignore what I'm seeing.
Monica, is Stephen A. prisoner of the moment?
There's a great question.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. I think you're right, Stephen A. You said the word macro earlier.
That's the first time I've ever heard you say that word. That's the first time I've ever heard you talk about
this
from a macro sense.
Monica, go ahead.
Go ahead, Monica.
Okay, I will say the nature of this MVP race is we all are going to be prisoner of the moment because I agree with JJ, it's going down to the wire. But I want to go back to what you said, Molly, in terms of none of us mentioning the Brooklyn Nets or the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah.
I think the road ultimately leads to the Bucks, period. Like, whoever is going to come out of the East, I think is going to have to go through the Milwaukee Bucks. And Stephen A., that argument is not a weaker argument because Dallas, of the three teams you mentioned, Dallas is the only actual playoff team. So what are you talking about?
No, I was saying that other teams they lost to. I'm saying that it's perfectly respectable.
I'm saying it was perfectly respectable to lose to a Dallas Mavericks team. The same Boston Celtics team that I was raving about lost to Indiana and Detroit. I'm saying those were worse losses than the Dallas loss. That was my point.
I agree with you, but we will not see Indiana or Detroit in the playoffs. And so in terms of translating to me what we saw with Dallas,
and Boston ain't going to see Dallas because Dallas ain't going to the finals.
All right. Here's the good news. You both
we talk about
back.
Playoff teams, baby. Come on.
All right.
All right.
So what's up with that? What's up with that? What's up?
You know what that is.
You want an energy this morning.
You know what I'm saying? What's up with that?
Yeah, you want that big energy, or what do you want?
I'm just saying, you see what I'm trying to say?
Okay.
This is what you do.
Listen,
this is what you do, Molly.
What I do? Okay. JJ, listen, Stephen A. doesn't agree with your take, but Kanye West does. I like that. Let's keep it rolling. These two will be back.
Actually, I don't think Kanye West agrees with his take, but I'm just saying.
Yes, he does. We don't have time for that. If you need me to moderate that debate, I can do that another time.
I didn't bring it up.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.